Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.
Good morning, and welcome to the Garden Goddess Show on WDRT Radio 91.9 FM, Viroqua, Wisconsin. This is Donna Smith, here for the next half hour to talk gardening with you. In today's show, we're going to talk about indoor gardening with houseplants with my guest, Sarah Mercer of Little Bird Plants in Viroqua. Let's jump right into today's show with a couple of questions from the garden cart. If you have a question about something going on in your garden or want some help or advice, you can email me. If you're curious about a garden-related topic that you'd like me to cover in a future show, let me know that too. Send an email with questions or suggestions to gardening@wdrt.org, and I will respond on a future show. Our first question is, why do many oak trees still have leaves on them when all the other trees have lost their leaves? Well, thanks to the Conservation Foundation Instagram page, they provided a great answer to this question. It's called mercescence. This is when certain deciduous trees keep their leaves throughout the winter months. You'll see examples of this on young oak trees. Scientists have studied this phenomenon, but are still not exactly sure why they keep their leaves. They do, however, have several theories. One, the leaves act as protection for the tree buds against cold and frost. Two, they shield the tree's tender buds and protect them from deer browse. A third reason might be that they act as nutrient reserves for the tree. When leaves fall off trees, they provide nutrients as they break down beneath the tree in the soil. For trees like oaks, the leaves will provide needed nutrients to the plant as they begin to grow again in spring. For the tree, it's like getting a dose of fertilizer after a long winter rest. The next question came from a listener who wants to know what to do with their Christmas tree after the holidays. What a great question. You can do a few things with a Christmas tree. You can recycle them in your garden. The entire tree could be put into a snowbank, for instance, in your yard to provide shelter for birds. This can create a bit of a barrier or windbreak as well. You can also cut off the branches and lay them on the ground to cover the perennial beds in your garden. This creates winter mulch that helps to protect your plants from fluctuating temperatures and can prevent the plants from heaving out of the ground. I'd like to welcome my guest, Sarah Mercer of Little Bird Plants, to today's patio talk. We're going to talk about houseplants today. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about how you got started at Little Bird Plants?
Yeah, I moved here in 2019 to be a part of Thoreau College, and that led to me volunteering at the greenhouse while it was still being managed by Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School. And then Arwen, my mentor, and I started a business there in 2020, Thoreau's Garden. And we ran that for a few years. And then when Thoreau's Garden decided to close, I had the opportunity to start Little Bird on my own.
Oh,
so
cool.
This is my third season managing the greenhouse on my own.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You must have a lot of great background in growing plants to have gotten into that.
Yeah, I'm young, but I have 10 years of growing plants. I've been growing houseplants and propagating plants, gardening since I was a kid.
Oh, very cool. Well, as we're going into this winter season of cold and snow, I thought it'd be a great time to talk about houseplants so that people can continue gardening even in the wintertime.
Yeah.
So what would you suggest as a couple of fairly easy plants for someone who wants to have some houseplants in their house? What plants would you suggest to get started with?
Yeah, I think it's so important to have greenery inside in the winter, especially when the air is getting so stagnant. easy plants to start with, if you don't have experience, would be spider plants. Tradescantias are really easy to grow and propagate. And snake plants that hardly need any water. Rubber trees, aloe, and herbs that are useful plants are good for beginners as well.
Oh, that's good. I never have good luck with my rosemary, bringing that inside.
That's a tricky one in the winter because they do need a lot of water. They can get too dry, and it's hard to tell when they're dry.
Okay.
They always kind of look the same.
Yeah, the soil always looks like it's wet.
Yeah.
And so I'm either not watering it enough or I'm just giving it way too much water. I think that might be some of my problem with my plants, too.
Yeah, rosemary is a tricky one.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep trying. Hopefully you'll have some great advice during our talk today that I can use for my indoor plants, because I'm not as good with them as I am with the ones outside.
Yeah, and especially in the winter, plants are a little bit more dormant. They're slowed down. They're not growing. They can lose leaves when you bring them inside, and I think that worries people a lot when they first bring them in. But they're just kind of going through a transition and readjusting to the dryness or the humidity of your house. And that's normal, but there are some things you can do to help them throughout the winter.
And what might you suggest?
Moving them away from your window so they're not touching the glass. That can freeze them a little bit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you might need an extra grow light depending on what kind of plant you have. Making sure that they're having enough humidity. You could have a humidifier or give them a pebble tray. It's just a tray that you fill with rocks and set your plant on it, and you keep water in that tray. And that can help plants that really need that extra humidity.
Oh, that's a great suggestion. And as far as watering your plants, what is kind of the good rule of thumb when watering your houseplants?
Yeah, so for most low-light plants, so I'm not going to talk about succulents and cactus right now, I would check them twice a week in the winter. And when you do water them, you want to make sure you water them really well. I think a lot of plants die when they're just given like a cup of water or half a cup of water, and then part of the root dies in the plant. And it's just a slow, long death for a house plant, and I see that a lot. So having a big saucer or putting them in the bathtub and making sure they really get a good soak when you do water them is really helpful.
So you want all the soil in the pot to get wet.
Yeah, and ideally it can drink from the bottom of the plant, and then they take as much as they want.
So is that where the big saucer underneath comes in handy, so that you make sure there's water in that so the plant can take it up through the roots?
Yeah, and I'll fill it up or put it in the bath and let it drink for an hour or two, and then take it out and put it back wherever I want it in the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably been one of my trouble spots, is watering them thoroughly enough.
You really got to water them.
Yeah. And what about the light conditions for most of your houseplants? What's required?
Yeah. I have a wide variety of plants in my shop, like plants for every situation. Some plants can really be in a dark corner away from light and not need too much. Some need direct light every day.
So what would be an example of a couple of plants that don't need quite as much light?
Yeah, snake plants are amazing. They're also called mother-in-law's tongue. You can have them in a dark spot of your house for many months at a time. And with those kinds of plants, I do recommend kind of charging it in the sun every few months. So if I have a snake plant in a room without a window and also not watering it, I would let it be pretty dry, and maybe every 2 months I would put it in a sunnier spot for a week just to kind of charge up and have some more energy, and then you can put it back in a darker spot.
Uh-huh.
You can also do that with peace lilies, Christmas cactus. Some philodendrons can handle that for a little bit. Bamboo palms are great almost no light kind of plants. And aloe also don't need too much if you keep them on the drier side.
Okay. And what house plants would need a little bit more light where, you know, if you have a good window to put them in?
Yeah, you know. I have a lot of fun tropical plants, which I really like to encourage people around here to grow, just because it's fun and exciting to talk about. And maybe you can get some fruit someday, too. But I have banana trees. They like as much light as you can give them. Citrus you can grow inside and just keep it outside in the summer around here. Then, of course, like cactus and succulents would like as much light as you could give them. And also herbs like basils and rosemary, sage, oregano. If you want to grow those over the winter, definitely have a grow light or bright sun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are good suggestions. That's great. I've read a little bit about plants that are good kind of air purifying plants. Can you address that a little bit?
Yeah, so every plant will make oxygen and release CO2. And some of them, and mostly plants will release oxygen during the day and release CO2 at night. But there's some plants that switch it up and release oxygen at night. So these plants are really great to have in your bedroom for fresher air while you sleep.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting
thought. Improve
your sleep.
Yeah. So some of these plants are orchids, snake plants, aloes, peace lily, Christmas cactus, tulsi, holy basil, spider plants, and philodendrons. And I think it's best to have a plant that releases it at night and during the day in the same room. Like two or three plants per room is really going to boost your air quality in your home throughout the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then other great plants for air quality is like plants with large leaves, rubber trees, monsteras, dracaenas, fiddle leaf fig. And these plants also are lower light, which is nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you typically encourage people to grow ferns? They always seem like that's a really difficult plant for people to grow.
I love ferns. I think they're really easy. I think the most common mistake with them is just not watering them enough or deeply when you do water them. So again, just soaking them and really every week. And you don't really want your fern to dry out very much at all. So like right when it's about to get dry, you want to soak it. And also just turn it in your window so it stays pretty even. Really helps them.
And with your houseplants, is it important for the soil to dry out in between waterings, or do you not want it to dry out?
Well, it really depends on your plant. So if you have succulents or cactus, definitely let them dry out, but still soak them when you do water them. Ferns, they don't want to dry out completely. Monsteras, fiddle leaf figs, philodendrons, herbs, they don't want to dry out completely, but almost. And then you'll soak them.
Okay. When we were talking about the light conditions for plants, it made me think about taking your plants outside in the summertime. What do you kind of recommend as far as the amount of light for them when they go outside? And is there kind of a transition period when you're taking them in and out?
Yeah, you definitely want to be careful not, you know, if you have them in a darker corner of your house, don't take them to full sun right away in the summer or they will totally burn and die. So if you have a covered porch that doesn't get quite direct light but has nice bright light, that's a great spot to have them for a week or so. And then depending on the plant, like if you're taking succulents and cactus outside that can handle full sun, I would still go through that little transition of just making sure you're not going too fast and shocking them with the light.
Do you also have to be mindful of the temperatures when you're taking plants in and out?
Yeah, I don't take my houseplants outside until June around here usually.
Okay.
Because then it's not going to be 40 at night anymore.
Uh-huh.
40 is kind of the lowest I'll go with most houseplants year round. Just because that temperature, like for tropical plants and for most plants, kind of triggers them to go into dormancy or like drop all their leaves pretty fast. So just keeping them a little bit warmer.
Okay. But there are some, are there some plants, some house plants that will can take those a little bit colder?
Yeah.
Are the succulents kind of like that?
Yeah, your succulents and cactus, they won't be growing, but they're not going to die if they're in the 40s. And that's usually okay, like towards a window in the winter, because the sun is more important than being warm for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as part of their care, what do you recommend for fertilizing? Do you fertilize in the winter, or do you wait until more of the kind of the growing season for fertilizing your plants?
Yeah, so for houseplants, in the winter, I won't fertilize them as much, and I just use a standard fertilizer at my greenhouse. Every 2 months or so, or really I wait until I see the plants getting a little bit pale, or, you know, they lose a little bit of color in their leaves when they're hungry. So that's a good sign they need some food. You could also just throw, like, a scoop of new dirt onto your plant if you don't have fertilizer. And sometimes, yeah, so repotting, I'll see, is, like, a way of fertilizing, too.
Giving them some fresh soil and
yeah,
things like
really
that.
Yeah, it really helps them.
Okay.
And in the growing season, I can fertilize, like, twice a month because they are just soaking it all up.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like annual plants, they're, like, kind of heavy feeders during
yeah,
that
they
growing
can take
time.
So much.
Okay. I want to kind of wrap up with one other question for you. Many people who have pets don't think that they can have houseplants when they have pets.
Yeah.
Are there some pet-safe houseplants that people can try?
Yeah, definitely. I have a lot of people come in concerned about their cat or their dog that they know love to chew on plants, or even their kids or babies, like, getting curious about plants. And there is a large list of safe plants, and I have a lot at my shop, too. Spider plants are non-toxic, a variety of herbs, palm, baby tears, which is a really cute little low-growing house plant, prayer plants. And then if you wanted something for your cat that they could eat, we also have catnip and cat grass, and that's good for them, too. It's always great to have hanging plants if you're worried about an animal reaching up to. We have lots of hanging plants.
Oh, that's a good idea as well. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I know we could go on and on, but we need to wrap up for today. I'm so grateful that you agreed to come in today, and glad this worked out for us to have a little chat.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And I really did enjoy visiting the greenhouse, and hope to get back over there. I was there on a very, very cold day.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to take anything home because I didn't want it freezing in the car. But I definitely will come by. I did see a few plants that I think I would like to try in my house.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're open 10 to 4 Wednesday through Sunday for this winter. And you're always welcome to come just hang out with the houseplants too if you're missing some greenery in your life.
Yep, it was very enjoyable to walk around and sit around in the entry area and look at all the plants and fun things, get some great ideas for decorating at home with some plants. So thanks
cool.
again, Sarah.
Thank you
Glad
so much.
Glad you could come in. On the bookshelf this month are a couple books suggested by today's guest, Sarah Mercer. First is Plant Propagation by Alan Toogood. This is an American Horticultural Society book by DK Publishers. If you're familiar with the DK Publishers books, it has amazing photography. The It has useful information, and the text is easy to read and understand. You'll not only find information on houseplants, but just about any plant imaginable in this book. And they just have great descriptions and pictures, which I really like. Another book that Sarah suggests is one called Plant-Driven Design. For the designer and the home gardener, this book is about creating gardens that honor plants, place, and spirit. It's not just a picture book, though it does have some great pictures. It's filled with ideas for creating unique landscapes. Many of the ideas translate well to creating indoor spaces with your houseplants. The pictures of plants of different size and texture are very inspirational. If you're looking for some fresh ideas to spruce up your garden inside or out, check out this book. In the tool shed this month, I found an item that I think will come in handy while caring for your houseplants. It's called a repotting mat. I'm always scrambling to find newspaper or cardboard so that I don't make a mess inside the house. Then I found the repotting mat. They're available from a number of different sources. They all have a similar design. It looks like a flat rubber or vinyl placemat, and the corners snap together to form sides of the tray. Now you have a work surface that will contain the dirt and debris as you work. You can repot a plant and then dump the soil and debris easily from the tray. Unsnap the corners when you're finished. Wash off the tray and hang it to dry, and then roll or hang for storage. It keeps your tabletop or counter clean when working with your plants and can be used again and again. When it's too cold to do this task outside, you need something that will catch the dirt, plant roots, and leaves. I think this is a great tool for those indoor gardening tasks. Who doesn't like a good work surface that aids in easy cleanup indoors anytime? Even in January, there are tasks that we can get done as a gardener. In today's Garden Journal, let's talk about some of the things that you can do during the coming month. As Sarah mentioned in our interview today, be mindful of how you're watering your houseplants this winter. They all need a thorough watering, and some plants need more than others. Get to know your plants so you know how often to water them. And many of the plants, particularly the ferns, will benefit from some misting of the leaves as well. Be mindful of where your house plants are located. They will dry out quickly if placed near heat vents, so you may need to move them around your house to find the ideal spot for them to live during the winter. Sarah mentioned this next piece of advice earlier. To increase the humidity around your plants, set them up on trays of pebbles filled with water. As the water evaporates, it will increase the humidity around your plants. Grouping your plants together can also help to concentrate the humidity among the plants. This is a good time of year to get ready for the upcoming seed starting tasks. Do you have a spot set up in your house to get your seeds started? Spend some time getting your shelving or table set up once the busyness of the holiday season is over. Do you have proper lighting, or do you need to get some new grow lights or replace bulbs? Now's the time to get these tasks done so you'll be ready when the time is right to get growing. We've had several weeks with snowfall on the ground covering garden plants. This is a time in winter when your woody plants are susceptible to damage. With a heavy snow cover, small mammals like squirrels and rabbits look for the easiest route to food. So you may see tracks through the snow leading to your trees and shrubs. Look for those, and they will likely lead you directly to damage on small shrubs, just above the snow line. This is where they can reach and chew on those tender stems. If needed, you can still protect these plants by putting some caging, like chicken wire, around them to lessen the damage. After a heavy snow, one of our heavy wet snows, check your trees and shrubs around the garden for damage. Prune out anything that gets broken from that heavy wet snow whenever you see it. And again, you don't want to be taking off a lot of that snow, especially if it has formed ice on the branches and things. You can damage the plants more by doing that. So if the ice has formed, then just let that melt off naturally. Use this next month to do some planning for next year's garden. I like to see what other people have planted in their gardens at this time of year. What plants are providing winter interest? Is there a clump of ornamental grasses, for instance, that are swaying in the wind or catching the snow? Are there plants with berries or interesting bark? This is a great time to walk through your neighborhood and see what catches your interest. Find out what those plants are and note them in your garden journal. This will be a great resource as you make plans this winter for your garden this coming spring and summer. It is winter, so another reminder, shovel first. Add salt or sand after shoveling your sidewalks and driveways. Shovel that snow away from the plants when possible and use environmentally friendly products such as magnesium chloride and calcium acetate. As a final note in today's garden journal, I wanted to briefly touch on indoor garden pests. In our houseplant discussion earlier, we didn't get a chance to talk about indoor pests. But they can become a problem. Yellowing and dead leaves most often are a result of an environmental issue, such as too much water, too little water, or temperature. The plant is in a space that's too hot or too cold. Speckling or bronzing of the leaves is typically due to an insect pest problem, such as aphids or mites. Aphids are a small teardrop-shaped pest and are fairly visible to the naked eye. To find mites, put a white piece of paper under your plant, tap the leaves over the paper, and if you see tiny specks that are moving around on the paper, then you might have mites. You can eliminate both pests with a strong spray of water in the shower or use an insecticidal soap, for instance, for control. Be sure to follow any label directions for proper use of that insecticidal soap. That's a wrap for today. I'll leave you with another song for the garden playlist. Let's add A Hazy Shade of Winter by Simon and Garfunkel. Thanks so much for joining me today. Please join me again next month for another discussion about gardening and plants. Have a wonderful day. Let's go out and make our world a little more beautiful, one plant at a time.